Love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more? Check out my podcast. Hi, I'm Kadra, the host of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. I tell tales every single week that have left me perplexed. You'll hear true crime cases, mysterious disappearances, learn about cults, hear baffling sightings of cryptids, chilling paranormal encounters, and even dark and weird history. I release new episodes every Wednesday, and you can listen anywhere podcasts are available. I'm also on Patreon, and you can even watch me on YouTube. Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. Stories that will leave you perplexed.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra, and if you're new here, welcome. I tell tales that have perplexed me every single week. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, you're in the right place. Be sure to follow along. And I want to introduce a very special guest that I have today. I have Alicia from the Twisted and Uncorked podcast.
What do I do with my hands? I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having us on. Sierra's coming on later, my American half of this podcast, but I am very happy to be here. Clearly, I have not had enough coffee.
But you do have a special beverage.
I do. I just threw together what I had in my house, which was vodka, orange juice, and diet ginger ale. So nothing
love
too
it.
Crazy.
Oh, I love ginger ale.
Also, how cute is this little skull cup?
Yes, it's super cute. She has like a mason jar skull cup for those of you who are listening. I was going to make, loud banging noise. I was going to make a cocktail, but my stomach is being kind of weird today. So I just have my water. Like Alicia was saying, I will have her other co-host, Sierra, who lives in Alabama, right?
Yes, she does.
She'll be on in a few weeks. So be sure to tune into that. And yeah, if you guys like my podcast, I'm sure you'll like Twisted and Uncorked too. They cover a lot of the same types of things. Do you want to talk about your podcast a little bit, Alicia?
Sure. So we cover all twisted topics every Tuesday. We are Twisted and Uncorked. So we do have a wine element there as well. On my episodes, we do a wine, and on Sierra's, we do a sangria with that same wine. And we also chat fun facts and just try and keep things positive, because sometimes true crime and paranormal stories can get really dark. So you can expect some light humor in amidst it and a little bit of banter. We're banter girls as well.
Yes.
And Kadra was actually recently on our episode 146, which was a lot of fun, where we discussed an old timey whodunit case and possible cryptid theories. So it was a lot of fun. So you can find her there too, just to give you a taste of what we're all about.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Alicia. It was so fun to be on y'all's podcast. And yeah, Sierra did a great job telling that story. And there's lots of twists and turns.
I don't know where she finds them, but my facial expressions the whole time are just like, and ours matched a lot of the time too. So it was even funnier if you guys prefer to watch on YouTube.
Yes.
Which we have as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I watched like the little reel clip of us and our faces were so funny.
Yeah.
It's a crazy one.
I'm excited to hear what you have planned for me.
Yeah. Should we get started?
Sure.
Let's do it. I think I'll save my announcements for the end, except this one quick one, and then we'll get started. I just want to briefly plug, I have a giveaway going on my Instagram page right now. If you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify, you get entries to be entered in to win some free merch from my Perplexity shop on Bonfire. And I'm going to announce the winner on March 31st. So if you want to enter the giveaway, I have that post pinned on my Instagram page. So go check that out.
What if I already left you a review, want to delete it and then put another one? Do I get to be entered?
Have you left one on Apple and Spotify?
No, just Spotify, because I don't have an iPhone or anything like that.
Okay.
But I can make Sierra leave one on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, that would count if you want to do that. Because it's, I do put that on the post. It's for new reviews only, which it doesn't mean I don't love you guys. Thank you to those of you who already left me a review. But someone messaged me saying, I don't have Apple Podcasts, or they were like, I do have Apple Podcasts, but I only listen on Spotify. I left you a review on Spotify, but I'm going to leave a review on Apple. And I was like, okay, great. And that gave them more entries. So I will announce that winner on the 31st, and then you can pick whatever you want. I've got like mugs, sweatshirts, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff.
The merch is so fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to make Sierra do it and then be like, I get it if I win, just so you know.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. It can be anything from this year or last year. So whatever design you want. And yeah, I just wanted to plug that really quick before we get started. So, okay, I thought it would be fun today, also just because I was kind of indecisive, to do like a hodgepodge of St. Patrick's Day things.
Love it.
So we're going to talk about St. Patrick, St. Patrick's Day, like just facts about the holiday and kind of history. And then we'll finish up and talk about leprechauns.
Which I did an urban legend on leprechauns this month. So I'll at least know about the leprechaun part.
Perfect. I'm excited. And I didn't do this intentionally, but I just did an episode on fairies, and there's a lot of connections.
There is. I was surprised by that too, because when you think of like little tiny men with beards, you don't think fairies. So
let's start with just some fun facts with St. Patrick. St. Patrick, he was an Irish saint, but he was not actually an Irish native. He was born in some conflicting reports, but he was born in either England or Scotland or Wales. And then he basically, when he was a teenager, was like captured. He was enslaved by these Irish raiders that attacked his home. Yeah, it was really intense. And he was held captive in Ireland for several years. Then he like fled to England, found God, started doing these religious trainings, and then returned to Ireland and became a missionary.
Well-rounded dude.
So that's kind of his backstory, but there's a lot of like lore and legends about him. Again, kind of like the game of telephone. So these things are allegedly true, but make of them what you will. So he was pretty eccentric from what I gathered. He was one of the primary reasons also that the shamrock is so popular and like a symbol for St. Patrick's Day, because apparently when he would preach, you know how preachers love to do like an analogy or an illustration or like a symbolism of something. So that's what he would do. It was like, okay, this shamrock, each leaf represents the Holy Trinity. So that's where that came from, apparently.
Sure. All right. Yep.
Contrary to what many people have come to believe, shamrocks have three leaves, not four. And if you stumble across a four-leaf clover, it's extra good luck, but they're much harder to find.
Did you do that as a kid? Did you sit in a field of clovers and like try and scour them for a four-leaf clover? I definitely did that.
I didn't really have any at my house growing up, but we have tons here now. Like the whole backyard right now is like clovers. So lots of good luck.
Aww. Yeah. My brother like ripped one leaf in half and gave it to me and was like, look, I found a four-leaf clover. I'm like, you cheated.
Aww.
Sir. But it was cute.
We had lots of dandelions, and so I would like make wishes with them. Yeah.
Love that.
So century-old legends say that Celtic priests have also believed a three-leaf clover can help ward off evil spirits, while four-leaved clovers provide magical protection, each leaf representing an important virtue like faith, hope, love, and luck. The shamrock has also been associated with Ireland for centuries. It was called the Seamroy by the Celts, and it was seen as a sacred plant symbolizing the arrival of spring. By the time it was the 17th century, the shamrock also became a symbol of emerging Irish nationalism. So all of that to say, I think it's fair to say that the shamrock's very important to Irish culture, and it makes sense why this became such a symbol with St. Patrick and eventually St. Patrick's Day. But like I said, St. Patrick was supposedly pretty eccentric, and there's a lot of crazy stories about him, like so many, but I just picked a couple of like short ones. One of the most famous ones of him involves he was like hiking up this mountain, and he was going to do this 40-day fast. It was in County Mayo. It was during Lent, and you know, they're super Catholic, super devout.
But hiking a mountain while starving yourself is ambitious. All
right. Well, and like, I see all the pictures of him and like this time period too. They wore like dresses, essentially. So I'm like, you're hiking up a mountain and you're like in a dress skirt situation.
Seems unsafe.
Yeah. And I imagine that they were wearing like sandals back then.
Not proper footwear. You're starving and you're in a skirt. All right. Sounds like a recipe for success.
On top of that, he's going to do a 40-day fast because he's super devout. So he's praying, he's not eating for 40 days. And according to legend, he was at the top of the mountain and did the full fast for 40 days. And while this is going on, there are these big ass squawky crows flying all over the sky, and they won't leave him alone.
Did they bring him shiny things? Like, maybe they really like him. Crows do that.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many, though. According to St. Patrick, they blacked out the sky. That's how many there were.
Oh, that's ominous. No.
Exactly. So I feel like it's like kind of horror movie vibes. There is a horror movie, actually, called Crow or the Crows. Really old.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. There's pecking. No.
No, thank you. So St. Patrick is trying his damnedest to like tune out these crows and just be devout and pray, focus on what he needs to do. But, you know, the crows were really annoying. But at some point, an angel appeared before St. Patrick. And what he had been praying for is for all of the Irish to be Christians, or I guess be devout until Judgment Day so that they could all go to heaven. So the angel appears and tells him that his prayer has been fulfilled. And so he's like, great, I'm going to get off this mountain now. So he starts hiking back down. He's dealt with the crows. He's starving. And then when he gets to the bottom of the mountain, there's a ton of snakes everywhere. So really weird. And he doesn't want to deal with these snakes. He's super tired. He's pissed off. He's hungry. And so according to this legend, St. Patrick basically loses his shit. He starts like screaming and he's just sprinting straight towards these snakes. And he's like, get out of here. Go get out. And he like casts all of the snakes out into the ocean.
This is like the best mental image ever. Man, skirt, sandals, running, starving through the woods, crows in the air, snakes everywhere. Okay.
And it's interesting because, okay, so some people say that this is why there are no snakes in the Emerald Isle.
I love that as a legend. Okay.
And like looking back when I went to Ireland and went through like the Emerald Isle, I was like, I did see a lot of crows there. They were huge also. Their crows are like ginormous. And I don't remember seeing any snakes. I mean, I know you don't see snakes super often, but apparently there's no snakes there. But other people say this is because of the geography here. Ireland is surrounded by water. And since the end of the last glacial period, snakes would have been like prevented from coming over. And then before that, there was tons of ice in Ireland. So it wouldn't have been a place that would make sense for snakes to inhabit. Mm-hmm. So could be that. Other people say that this legend symbolizes St. Patrick driving out the pagans and their ideologies. So saying that they were symbolized by snakes, which I don't love that.
I don't either. I'd prefer crows in my witch metaphor.
A couple of other just quick, like, what the fuck stories about him. One time he's... with this friend, right? And him and his friend are just like beep-bopping around when they run into the druid people. And if you're a Catholic in this time period, the druids are like the total opposite of you. They don't get along. Mm-hmm. And so St. Patrick wants to be incognito from these druids. So he used this magical power that I guess he had, and he transformed him and his companion into wild deer so that they could sneak past the druids.
Some Disney shit. All right.
Yeah, it was apparently, and I'm probably going to say this wrong, the magic he used was called Feth Fiata. It's supposed to be a magical mist or veil that's common in Irish mythology.
You're the linguistics expert.
You're
Sounds
right.
Like you nailed it to me.
Well, but then, you know, like Samhain is spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Like, you know,
that
I'm sure.
Speaking of, I recently got this Oracle deck and I'm obsessed with it.
Oh, cute.
It's a Samhain deck. Sorry. As you said that, I'm like, I want to show you.
I love it. There's another little legend that apparently he was like a major yapper. And so when he would preach, one time he like preached for so long that he was like leaning on his little walking stick the whole time he talked. And the walking stick grew roots in the ground and it turned into a tree.
Man, how did he talk the stamina on this guy?
Arguably, one of the most famous legends about St. Patrick is that he could allegedly bring people back from the dead. So according to legend, and according to him, very much a flex, he would say that he had brought back at least 33 people from the dead. So don't know if that's true or not, but
I
really
need to see the notes, sir.
But Jesus allegedly did it in the Bible, so you know.
True.
Now, as eccentric and complicated as St. Patrick may have been, it seems he was very simple-minded in at least one aspect. When it came to his alcohol, he believed in a full pour. No half skis.
Same.
Nothing like that. That's just a basic principle. So the story goes, one time, St. Patrick is at a pub, I'm assuming in his dress and his sandals, and he ordered a whiskey, naturally. We're in Ireland. And so the bartender poured him a whiskey, but the glass was half full. And this shocked Patrick.
Okay, we're talking hard alcohol, sir. That's a normal pull. Pull? Pour. My God, I've had one drink.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, wow, a full glass of whiskey would be crazy.
I would be on the floor. When you said full pour, I was like, a beer, a glass of wine, same.
No, whiskey.
We're going 40 proof? No, I'm going to need a nap after that.
Now, I will say, when I was in Ireland, it was so dreadfully cold. One of the only things that would warm us up is whiskey. And so we would carry these little miniature bottles of whiskey in our pockets and they would keep us warm because they like warm
That's
your throat,
so
warm your stomach. Yeah. We're at this pub, or Patrick's at this pub. I would love to be at a pub right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right? Where was our invite?
And he is like super pissed off. He's like, I've just been ripped off. I'm a saint. What is this? Give me a full pour. And he basically bullied the bartender into not only
a saint. Sorry.
He bullied him into not only giving him a full pour, but giving everyone in the bar a full pour. And this today is known as the drowning of the shamrock. And on every St. Patrick's Day, there's this tradition, I think it's the most common in Ireland, where you put a shamrock in the last round of your drink, traditionally whiskey, and you make a toast to St. Patrick.
Love that. Yeah. I almost feel, I don't think I could drink a whole cup of whiskey, but I would participate if I could right now. If it wouldn't incapacitate me for at least 24 hours.
I like recently started getting back into whiskey again. I went through like a whiskey phase in college and I don't know what I was doing, but I would like go to bars with my friends and I would just get order like straight whiskey. And that's just what I would drink, just a little glass of straight whiskey. And then as I got older, like, I
assume
no.
good stuff, not like well shit.
Well, I was in college. Do you think it was good?
No, probably not. Straight whiskey is bad bitch energy, Kendra. Okay. I don't sorry, am I allowed to swear on your show?
Yes, you are okay. allowed to swear. I do so myself. Okay, so now let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk just about like St. Patrick's Day. A lot of this I did not know. Until the 1700s, St. Patrick's Day was like strictly a Roman Catholic holiday. There was like a feast involved and prayer, and you were in the church, and it was only celebrated in Ireland. It was very like serious and religious. But then basically what happened is when all of the Irish immigrants started coming into the U.S., the traditions started to adapt and change and grow. Parades were held and other big events. March 17th, 1601 is when it's believed the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in a Spanish colony, which is now St. Augustine, Florida. So now the holiday has evolved, as we know, into a secular ode to Irish culture with parties, music, iconic foods, green beer, and dyeing the river green.
Yeah, use environmentally friendly / human friendly dyes, people. I've seen people dye green beer with like all sorts of shit, and I'm like,
questionable. We're going to talk about why that is too, or like theories for why people dye foods green, like what that may have, like the lore behind it.
Is it to hide mold?
No, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
So while Irish Americans are now widely accepted in the United States, this was unfortunately not always the case. In 1845, there was the infamous and devastating potato famine, resulting in approximately 1 million deaths and 2 million relocating, with nearly a quarter of those refugees seeking solace in the United States. And this next sentence I'm about to say sounds familiar. Irish refugees were widely seen at this time as being, using air quotes, disease-ridden, unskilled, mm-hmm. and nothing more than a drain on welfare budgets. So,
mm-hmm. unfortunately, other countries in Europe felt the same way for refugees as well. And it's like, they're from the same continent, country, like, part as you. Like, come on. Just because they have a different accent or they're...
Like, having to uplift your whole life and go into another country, you have to be in a really bad situation. Like, these people were literally starving, and then millions died, and then they're, like, extremely hardworking when they came over and, like, helped us build so many things here. So it's just ridiculous. So, you know, they come over, and... It's believed that the reason the color green is associated with St. Patrick's Day ties back to the 18th century when supporters of Irish independence used the color to represent their cause. And of course, Ireland is, you know, it's the countryside, it's super green. So what about the food on St. Patrick's Day? Corned beef and cabbage has now become a St. Patrick's Day staple in the United States. However, it was actually ham and cabbage that were eaten in Ireland. When many Irish immigrants came over, though, during the famine, they didn't have a lot of money. So they started getting corned beef because it was much cheaper. And according to historian Christine Keneally, the reason we dye our food green may actually stem back to the potato famine. People were so food deprived during this time that they would eat anything, including grass. People who starved to death during the famine often died with green mouths. And of course, a big symbol with St. Patrick's Day too is the color green. So just things to think about, you know, as we're celebrating.
Yeah, of course. Like, you have to recognize what people have been through when you celebrate. any of these holidays, like Thanksgiving, like I'm all for celebrating with family and friends, but it's important to know where they stem from, because in most cases, especially in Western society, they are nothing like where they came from. So that's crazy. I didn't know about the grass thing.
I know. It was like, so I know this doesn't mean much to a lot of people, but I am of Irish descent.
It should. It means a lot to you. It's part of your heritage. Screw them. Sorry. I'm listening.
Well, you know, you hear those things where it's like all white people are just white people, you know?
Yeah, I'm Portuguese. Do I look Portuguese to you? Yeah, not all white people are just white people.
My mom's side is Scottish and my dad's side is Irish. And that was a big reason why we went to Ireland and Scotland, is because we just wanted to like see where our ancestors were from and go to another country. So it was really, really fun.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So to get to like kind of part three of this episode, now we're going to talk about leprechauns. I had so much fun learning about them. And like I said, I just did an episode on fairies. If you guys haven't listened to that and you like love the lore of the leprechaun, you'll probably love that episode too.
It was a great episode. Just go listen.
Thank you. Many people say that the leprechaun is also based on Celtic fairies and like the lore there, and that their name means small-bodied fellow. Other people say that the word has something to do with shoemaker, like it means someone who makes shoes, because leprechauns are also known to make shoes. It also seems fair to say that because fairies are tiny beings who use their magical powers for good or evil, that this closely mirrors the lore of a leprechaun. But in most Celtic folk tales, leprechauns are cranky old men who spend their days mending the shoes of other fairies. They also are entirely male. There's no female leprechauns, and they're about 3 feet tall. They've got beards, hats, and they usually wear like a green or a red coat.
Same.
Mood.
Sorry. In your research, did you come across the egg theory for leprechauns?
No, tell me, what is it?
Okay, so I only saw it in two sources, and I'm not trying to step on toes at all, but
no.
I did a little bit of research on leprechauns for an episode, and it was weird. They said that the reason that there's no female leprechauns is because they just hatch from eggs. And I was like, are we getting this mixed up with the Easter Bunny, though? Like, it was weird, so... Yeah, I saw it in two sources and I was like, what?
Wow. Okay. They're hatching from eggs, maybe.
Maybe.
I love that.
I like the idea of them just blooping into existence better.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah. I don't know why. I just kind of visualized them living in like trees, you know, or like I know fairies, like a lot of them live in nature, like in a tree under a mushroom or something. Yeah. According to legend, leprechauns are known to be very sneaky and hide their riches or gold at the end of a rainbow. If you catch a leprechaun, you get 3 wishes in exchange for the leprechaun's freedom. But be careful, because leprechauns are sneaky and they'll try to fool you into taking your eye off of them for just a moment. And then just like that, they'll disappear and they'll take all the gold with them. Going back to the symbolism of green with St. Patrick's Day, I thought this was really cool. According to Irish folklore, leprechauns are unable to see the color green. So if you wear green, the leprechauns can't see you, and so they can't pinch you. So that's why we're supposed to wear green, because if you wear any other color, they can see you and they're little tricksters, so they'll pinch you. One of the earliest references to leprechauns goes all the way back to the 8th century too. So they've been in folklore for a really long time, and old Irish tales even talk about leprechauns in the 700s, saying that they were like spotting them in the fields and stuff. Also, fun fact. So, okay, did you know this? Leprechauns are a protected species under European Union law. I love this.
And didn't it like happen in the 2000s too? Like that law was passed?
Recently, yeah.
They take that shit seriously.
And in Carlingford, you can go leprechaun hunting, even though they're a protected species. But it's like you catch
a... kind of like ghost hunting, like you're just looking for their presence, not to like capture them.
Sort of. So they like hide these ceramic leprechauns like on this mountain. And then when you find one, you get like a prize.
Okay. Oh, so okay. Okay. I love it. All right.
Yeah, and there's like a tour guide that'll take you through these like underground tavern or caverns also. And they say that like leprechauns were known to travel in these like underground tunnels.
Interesting.
I just realized too, when you went to the bathroom, I haven't been telling you to like look at any of the pictures. Because, you know, I'm a really good organized podcast host.
He is a very good organized podcast host.
So you can look at those there. And I'll put these on the Instagram page and on the Patreon post of this, too. There's pictures of St. Patrick and the mountain that he allegedly went up to in County Mayo.
There's some cool... the little clover facts. Those are cute.
I love it too. Yeah, it talks about like just the power that the clover has. The next picture is supposed to represent the drowning of the shamrock, and it's like the pub. The next picture is Irish refugees. And then the other one is like a leprechaun that's a shoemaker. And then we get to this incredible picture. Have you seen this picture before? Okay, amazing. I was hoping not.
My favorite thing I've ever seen. Okay,
I'm so excited. I felt like crazy for not knowing this story, but it makes me feel better that you hadn't heard it either. Okay, so this is the Crichton leprechaun. And this happened in Alabama. So maybe Sierra's heard of it. It happened in Mobile, Alabama, Crichton area.
Okay.
It happened in 2006. So it's a fairly modern sighting. And this story gained national attention after a local TV station broadcast went viral, including this incredible amateur sketch picture that I will post on Instagram. But I would love it so much if you would attempt to describe this sketch for me.
It looks like a little bolo hat on top of a face with two very dark eyes and a circle. And maybe a line for a mouth. It's very basic, but I'm obsessed with it. It might be my new background after today.
If an eighth grade boy was doodling in class, this might be something you'd see in like his notebook. It's so great. And then there's like a little buckle on his hat. This story has become so famous. I saw some videos of people making like cookies and signs when they're like getting ready for St. Patrick's Day. And the cookies and the signs would have like this face on it, like this exact face. So one day in 2006 on Lacrin Street near UMS Wright in Mobile, Alabama, many people claimed that they saw... the disembodied face of a leprechaun in a tree. The sketch is incredible. I like hysterically started laughing when I saw this sketch. And it was funny too, because like I read this story and then after I typed everything up, I found the sketches and a video. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I found these because I would have missed how funny this was. So basically this reporter arrives at the scene to like report on all of this because there's this huge crowd of people and there's a whole fiasco which results in the amateur sketch, and this sketch actually sold later on eBay for $1,100. The proceeds, though, went to this the American like Cancer Society.
My artwork level. Okay, I love that. I was going to say, I can start drawing some sketches. But no, I do love that.
It was the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life. And this quote from the reporter is just so funny. So he says, quote, "I actually saw what was sketched on paper. I certainly do not believe it's a leprechaun." So he wasn't convinced.
Are we sure it just wasn't a small child with a hat on?
So there's a picture I sent you, Alicia, and it's kind of blurry. It wasn't the best picture, but it's this man standing with his painting of the Crichton leprechaun. Okay, so this is a picture of Shun Thomas is his name. And Shun claims he was the first person to see this leprechaun. He was drinking a beer, hanging out with some friends. It was nighttime. And he said the stars were out and he just was looking in this tree and he saw something strange and kind of did these double takes. And he described the sighting as a metamorphosis with the mouth or nose appearing first, followed by the rest of the face. It was a face and a top hat, not a whole body. And then he did this painting. The sighting was reported by a bunch of locals every evening for about a week. And then it blew up in the news. And interestingly enough, Shun Thomas, the same man who was the first person to see the leprechaun, also reported having a similar experience in 2010. He like posted a tweet about it. But the video about this, like the news reporting, is, I'm not kidding, one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. And I'm gonna try to like put the audio in this episode, but Alicia, you have to watch this video. It's so funny.
Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah!
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff and it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
We're gonna get down to the bottom of this. Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wards off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. Like, I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing out there.
Who did that? I want to know who sketched that.
I don't know. Maybe Brian sketched it.
Doodling.
That was a good story.
I'm so happy that this is an actual news segment, to be clear. Ridiculous. Love it. The crackhead got me.
I know. And the passenger is like hysterically laughing. And then they have that guy who's like in full military garb.
Yeah.
He has like this, it looks like a pipe bomb, but it's apparently a flute. And he's like, this is an ancient flute from 1,000 years ago.
No, sir. That's a piece of metal that has been welded together.
Hobby Lobby spray painted, and it's like pipe, and you put like three holes in it. And he's like, this is a flute that'll ward off the leprechaun. And there's people driving by his house, and he's like outside shouting at them, and he's like, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. It's so good.
I would be afraid.
Yeah, like, I'm afraid of you, sir. Yeah,
why are you wearing full camo, and what is that?
He had like a bulletproof vest on.
I know.
What do you think this leprechaun's gonna do to you? This is not the horror movie, The Leprechaun.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I'm pretty sure they're just humble shoemakers with gold, okay? I don't think your bulletproof vest is gonna help you.
It's just too good. Yeah. So I love that story. There were like a couple other encounters I came across. There was like this webcam where apparently you can like watch for leprechauns, and it was on, let me find
OnlyFans?
It.
OnlyFans?
Ooh, that would be, wow. This was on irelandseye.com, and then they had like this area of the website where people could, I guess, like submit reports of their sightings, and there were some pretty funny ones. And there was this one, I'm gonna try to read it, but I'm probably gonna butcher it, because have you ever been on, when Twitter was Twitter, have you ever been on like Irish Twitter or Scottish Twitter, or like accidentally stumbled onto it and watched like how they type?
No, but I wish I had.
Okay. It's like another language. It really is. Okay. So I think that's what this is. And so this guy who was on the website and I guess saw the leprechaun, this is what he said. In the little wee corner were a tiny wee man, wid, W-I-D, a little wee smoke, past the camera he ran. He add a clover in his hat. He was jolly and plump wid a little brown pipe. He's outrageously fat. So it's just like a bunch of reports like that. And I
love how everything was abbreviated or shortened to sound like the English word. And then he was fat.
So much fun. But I love the idea of just like stumbling upon a webcam and like seeing a leprechaun. And then some of the other ones were saying that it kind of looked like a picture of a leprechaun from like a storybook. And I was like, it probably is.
Kind of like those trail cams that like try and capture Bigfoot or something.
Exactly. So that, everybody, is my kind of hodgepodge of the St. Patrick's lore and the holiday and the leprechaun. I want to thank Alicia for coming on to this episode today. It was so much fun.
And being abundantly distracting.
No, it was great. I love the banter.
Oh, I love it. No, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad I could be a part of a fun holiday episode.
Absolutely.
A little bit of fun for sure. Because, you know, as well with the true crime and mysterious, sometimes things do get a little dark.
Exactly.
This is a super fun episode. Yeah.
I know. I like to lighten it up. Yeah, when I can. If you guys would love to hear more, and like you need a new podcast to listen to, definitely check out Twisted and Uncorked. Alicia and Sierra are awesome. And if you guys enjoyed today's episode, I would love if you left a 5-star review and let me know if you do, because I can enter you in my merch giveaway.
Trust me, you want that merch.
Listen, I may be biased, but I really like my merch. I think the quality is really good. And I did do the designs myself on Canva, and I really like how they turned out. So if you guys are watching on YouTube, you can also hit the subscribe button. And if you really just are so perplexed and you need more, go get on the Patreon. I do have a new tier now, too, that I literally just started doing. It's just a support tier. So if you're not really like wanting all the bonus content, but you just want to like support, I might drop a couple things here and there. I haven't decided yet, but it's just $1 a month. If you want bonus content, which I have a ton of, including my Daughters of the Cult documentary coverage, it's just $3 a month. I think that's all of my announcements. Alicia, do you want to tell everybody how to find like y'all's socials and stuff?
Yeah, we are at Twisted and Uncorked on basically everything except for Twitter/X, which we are Twisted_pod. You can find us pretty much anywhere at twistedanduncorked.com. And we do have a YouTube channel as well, but it's literally just our Zoom screens. Like, don't expect anything fancy. But if you are more of a visual person, you can find us there. And yeah, we release new episodes every Tuesday, and we've had lots of fun guests, including Kadra, over on our show. So come and check that out.
Love it.
Sure. Thank you so much again for having me as well.
Of course. It was so fun. Thanks for coming on. Okay. So I hope you guys all have a good week. I hope you all stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. And be sure to tune in next week, because I'm going to have a very exciting guest next week as well. So bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Kadra would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious. Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brennan. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by going to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leaving a 5-star review. It helps the show more than you know. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. And if you have a story to share or a topic request, send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Kadra would love to read your story on the podcast. Until next week, stay curious.